Welcome to Truth, Culture, Life. I'm Royce Hood, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Sierra Heidkamp out of North Dakota. Sierra, how are you doing?
Oh, I am so good today. Even better now that we get recording.
Yeah, we had some technical issues coming in where my microphone and my speakers, nothing was working. It was weird.
It's always a humbling experience when technology does not want to work for you.
I think it's spiritual warfare, as our guest, Dr. Ian Murphy said. I mean, it is. It's like, it's funny when you're doing something good and weird things start happening, just keep going.
Perseverance. Oh, yeah. And we have perseverance, because we can adapt and overcome, right?
That's right.
Remember, a couple months ago, I had like 2 weeks where my camera wasn't even working and I could not get it figured out.
That's right.
But we got it figured out, and here we are.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's, you know, when in doubt, kick it really hard, or just try to turn it off and restart it. Either one of those two things will work, and then say a prayer, sprinkle some holy water, and you're good to go, right? I mean,
put the whole thing in race.
Exactly. So we would be, I feel like we can't shortchange our listeners. Sierra, let's get the weather report, even though nobody listening is actually from North Dakota in terms of our radio show broadcast. Our podcast, people can hear it in North Dakota. So how's the weather in North Dakota?
It is 56 degrees, no wind, sunny skies, and it's going to be 75 today.
Oh, that actually sounds pretty good.
I mean, and I hope the listeners are keeping track, honestly, because in the last 3 weeks, it has been a complete 180.
It's like I feel like North Dakota weather is sort of like a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. You never I think it's funny. Like, I talk to people in other states that I know, I'm friends with, associates, whatever. And I think I talked to my aunt in Georgia, and she's like, oh, I'm switching out my closet right now.
I wish
I'm taking my winter closet to my summer closet. And I was like, I don't know what that means in North Dakota.
No, I'm sorry. My ADD kicked in when you said aunt. My ADD kicked in, and that's all I heard from that point forward. And I was thinking, I wish Father Orsi was here, because how would Father Orsi say aunt? Would he say aunt or aunt?
He'd say aunt. He for sure would.
Yeah, I think I say aunt too. I don't know. Yeah. But then it's weird because you step on ants, right? I mean, that's a little bit mean if you think about it. Like, I remember being a kid and people were like, hey, you stepped on your aunt. And it was kind of like a joke, but
yeah, that's pretty funny. I had a call yesterday, and some people on the phone listening today might be confused, but I was talking to somebody, and I had just gone to Costco and I was bringing in stuff, you know, and they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I have to bring in all this pop. And they were like, what? Yeah. What is that?
No.
And I always get confused, because I forget that people call it pop or soda or Coke. The Coke thing always.
Because it's not called pop, it's called soda.
Oh.
I will argue until I'm blue in the face about this one. But listeners, if you're listening, what do you think it is? Why don't you check us out? Tell us on Facebook. Truth Culture Life Pod, I think, is our handle. Or you can look me up, Royce Hood, or Sierra's on there. Is it soda? Is it pop? Is it just Coke? I think down in Florida, we just say, I'll have a Coke. And that could actually mean Sprite, root beer. It can mean anything.
That's what I get confused by when you're like, yeah, I want a Coke. Like, how does the bartender or the waitress know?
You just know.
What you want.
They're supposed to know. It's how you say it. If you say Coke, it means Coke. If you say, I want a Coke, that's probably something else. You got to listen. Yeah, it's weird. You know? All right. So I think we have a really cool show planned for everybody listening. And you're listening to Truth, Culture, Life. Father Orsi is not here. He's doing some priestly important thing. So we will forgive him for not being here. He's great. He comes every Friday. So tune in next week, and I'm sure he'll be back with us. In the meantime, we actually have a really cool guest. We have Dr. Ian Murphy, who's an author and a speaker. And I was actually reading, he's got a new book that it's actually really super, super cool. So I'm going to bring him in, and let's see if we can get him to come on in. Dr. Ian Murphy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here and so grateful for the chance to talk about the book. And just to clear it all up, it is soda. Anyone who calls it pop, well, they're just wrong. But original sin affects us all. So
from now on, anytime we say pop on the show, you're going to hear a trombone. If anybody says that word, I'm triggering the trombone. That word is not allowed.
I accept it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious. People up in Illinois might do it differently. I'm not from here, so I'm in Illinois, but yeah, I'm from the South. And where are you from, Dr. Murphy, originally?
Originally New Jersey. I'm currently living in the Charleston, South Carolina area. With my wife, Rachel. The weather here is gorgeous right now, by the way. But yeah,
we always do a weather report.
New Jersey.
Okay. Beautiful. So yeah, it's interesting. That explains things then why I like you instantly, because where I grew up in Jupiter, Florida, everybody was either from New York or New Jersey. And there's just something about that New England. People speak right, as far as I'm concerned. No offense to my wonderful Illinois listeners. But all right, so weather in Illinois is interesting. We usually do like a little weather report because our hosts are scattered. We've got Father Orsi in Naples, Sierra's up in North Dakota, and I'm in central Illinois. So it's great to have you down in the Carolinas. That's beautiful. Let's do this. Tell us a little bit. So you've got a super, I was reading all about you last night, and I'd heard of you before from your first book. I know Dr. Scott Hahn had been involved with, he had some portion of that book that he helped to, a foreword or something like that, right?
Yeah, he wrote the foreword to it.
Right. And I remember that. And I remember hearing about you and reading about you. So I was looking into you more last night and getting ready for the show today. And I was just really blown away, from agnostic to Baptist to Catholic. I mean, and that's just a little of your story. And people can find out, actually, our listeners, if you go to drianmurphy.com, you'll be able to read all about Dr. Murphy and his books. But tell us a little bit about you and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. The most important thing to me is my friendship with Christ. Also, my marriage to my wife, Rachel, over 8 years now, no kids yet. And I welcome the prayers of our listeners on that one. Yeah, for a long time, I thought God probably didn't exist. And it was actually a physical encounter with spiritual warfare that gave me the proof that I was looking for. I was attacked by a demon, and it fled immediately when I called upon the name of Jesus. So that experience cured my doubts about the spiritual realm and God's existence, showed me the Lord is real, and eventually became a Baptist preacher. Another interesting moment in my journey happened when my public high school attempted to censor my commencement speech about Jesus. And I fought back, and this blows up into a national media circus. I became the free speech kid. I ended up getting to give my speech. It inspired a bill from the desk of Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter that was later signed into law. I suppose you could call it Murphy's Law. New definition to that. But yeah, became a Baptist preacher, eventually entered the Catholic Church. And got my PhD in theology from Duquesne. I've been a minister, a professor, but currently I'm in Charleston, South Carolina area and working as a full-time Catholic writer and speaker. And again, so grateful to be here with you today. Thanks again.
Wow. I mean, if I had tried to give you an introduction on the air, I would have butchered like half of that at least. And there's so much to unpack there. Like I want to hear more. And the reason why I'm interested in the demonic attack is because next week I will be interviewing an exorcist priest, and we've been posting things on Facebook. We haven't said who it is yet, but I'm super excited about that. And I've just like, I feel like spiritual warfare because of nefarious and other things going on is so at the center of like, people are becoming more fully aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they just attacked your technology. I'm personally convinced, doing this for a living, that there's a whole squadron of demons dedicated to technology. So, I really believe that at this point. I think they're, you read the Gospels and they're just around every corner. They knew who Jesus was, that's for sure. And they like to operate invisible and unnoticed and unchallenged. Again, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he wasn't there, but he is, and he's not a metaphor for evil. He's literally there, but again, calling on the name of Jesus, man, they flee. Yeah. So don't be afraid of them. Just be fearfully reverent of the one they answer to.
Exactly. Go ahead.
But then they appeal to your human nature. I just had this conversation with somebody. We were talking about, you know, secular music. And how it's, you know, Lucifer was in charge of music, then he fell, and they've looked into all of these types of music nowadays, EDM, some artists that you like look at the patterns of the music, and It's very interesting if you deep dive into that. That's all I'll say.
I have myself. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
EDM. What's EDM? I don't know what that is.
It's music where it's supposed to make you feel a certain way. And so it's like a lot of rave music is EDM music. So you basically show up and you kind of like lose control and, you know, you're just listening to the vibes or whatever, but then they're putting bad things into the vibes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. I mean,
all the listeners looking at EDM, I'll post something about it on Facebook that you can check it out.
Oh yeah. That's crazy. So there's so many things. Like, I guess I'm getting old because I'm starting to lose touch with what's like in that happen. That happens at some point, you know. I'm still listening to my 90s mixed on my iPhone, right? Anyway.
On your iPod shuffle.
Yeah.
Me too. I think we have the same Spotify list.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. There's something about it. But listen, so if you want, I don't know if you feel comfortable going into detail, but you said, like, was this a manifestation? You said you were attacked by a demon.
Yeah, I was 14 years old when I prayed this really scary prayer. I said, God, you probably don't exist. At this point, I'm going to need to touch the spiritual realm for myself in order to have faith. But again, you're probably not even there. So I'm just talking to the air right now. I'm almost certain. Mm. You know, they say, be careful what you pray for. You might just get it. He responded to that prayer by allowing me to have tangible contact with the spiritual realm. This preternatural entity was allowed to communicate with me telepathically. It was even clearer than audible communication. It introduced itself, its intent to hurt me, and then it descended on me and physically started to crush me to the point of suffocation. And I'll never forget looking down at myself, you know, this skeptic who wanted his proof, looking down and seeing the physical compression against my body, you know, hearing this thing's communication and then watching it respond to the name of Jesus like that. It's an unforgettable experience.
And I think it's important to note this, like, that look, you were effectively an atheist prior to this.
Yeah. The academic term is a probabilistic atheist. Somebody who thinks God probably does not exist. It's a type of agnostic.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting. So Father Carlos Martins, who's the priest behind the Exorcist Files, was an atheist.
Wow.
And people don't realize that. And he had a conversion, effectively getting sort of, I don't want to say suckered into, but sort of tricked into going to this retreat. And he thought it was going to be like beer and campfires and ended up sitting in front of adoration. And he was so embarrassed to leave adoration because he didn't want to insult his friends that he sat there, and he ended up giving one of these prayers, like, you know, look, I don't think you're there, but if you somehow, you know, show yourself to me, I will give you my life. Mm-hmm. And he sat through adoration. He said all of a sudden, like, nothing like profound happened, but he had several hours of adoration that he had to go and come back where, you know, it was like his time there at this retreat. And in the middle of the night, he said he went, it was like 3 a.m. and he had this, like, he felt this, like, this feeling of peace that he had never experienced before, ever in his life. And it led him to the priesthood. And ultimately, atheist to 10 years later, you know, or after his priest, you know, becomes a priest, he's an exorcist now. And the Exorcist Files are just incredible. It's terrifying. It's amazing. It's inspirational. It's not for the faint of heart. But one of the stories that was one of the first episodes is of an eight-year-old boy was playing the Ouija board and had a similar encounter with a manifestation in a similar manner that you did. And I don't want to spoiler alert, give anything away, but there was a communication and there was an acquiescence to that communication where the boy effectively said yes to this entity that was manifesting. And it was probably a 15-year struggle of demonic oppression and even possession in this boy who became a young man's life. And it's just so profound when you hear the witness and the testimony, and then you get to the end and you hear the deliverance that happened. And no matter what, and what I've discovered through some of this, just listening over the past week, like getting ready for this interview next week, is there's no authority unless God gives it or unless we give it. So in other words, like, we can invite demons into our lives. We can give them authority over us by our actions and by our deeds and our words. But Jesus Christ is more powerful than any of that. And by invoking his name, you were able to defeat that, right? And wow. Okay. I could spend the entire day just on that one subject, and that's not why we're here. But Dr. Murphy, that might be your next book, Spiritual Warfare. What I want to go into next is, obviously, there's, again, so much to unpack there. Let's talk about your newest book. And so I was looking at this last night, and let's see, I'm going to pull it up right here. By the way, it's just amazing. And in the book, you will find listeners, people listening, it's The Road to Self-Awareness. And I thought it was funny because instantly I thought, well, this is a self-help book. And you you dispel that notion right in your introduction. Tell us a little bit about The Road to Self-Awareness.
Yeah, in a sense, it's not even a change of topic. I mean, I think one of the biggest territories that the enemy has attacked is the whole world of caregiving, the wide world of therapy and counseling. People have literally taken the counselor, the Holy Spirit, out of counseling. You know, through atheistic influence, utilitarian influence, evil influence, the whole therapeutic world, well-meaning as it is, it has left out transcendence. By leaving God out, it ignores transcendent realities. It ignores prayer. It ignores body-soul unity. It ignores the reality of disorder, the importance of being well-ordered, what a human being truly is and is truly called for, a flourishing happiness in love and relationship that no eye has seen, ear heard, nor heart conceived. Because they reject what the Creator has revealed to the creation, they end up with this inevitably short-sighted, incomplete, distorted version of a human person. They want to heal the human person, but they don't even know what one is. In the end, what's happened is therapy today is at best incomplete, at worst dangerous. It keeps people sick. It'll keep people trapped in the very dysfunction that needs to be cured. Its focus has become pain alleviation, the treatment of symptoms, the solving of a problem, the avoidance or reduction of suffering. It's all about the riddance of a negative. But it's being all about what we're saved from. It never gets into what we're saved for.
So, okay, let's do this. We only have about 30 seconds left before we go to our first commercial break. We're talking to Dr. Ian Murphy. And when we come back, we're going to talk about his latest book, The Road to Self-Awareness. And I'm going to ask him a little bit about his story. And it's incredible when you just reading the introduction of the book, the fact that he was able to battle something and persevere. And so we'll be right back after this break.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Catholic Spirit Radio would like to recognize our matching donors for this year's successful Carathon. David Busson, John Carter of Jack Lewis Jewelers, Matt and Layla Busson, John P. Holt Builders, and two anonymous donors. Thank you for your support of Catholic Spirit Radio.
Wondering about your next step? Ashley was in school and pregnant when she reached out to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Would she be judged? Would she be accepted? What she found at LAPRC was a team of people who were committed to providing excellent care and compassionate support to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. If you or someone you know is in a situation like Ashley, or if you want to help support women and families in our community, you can find us at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Anne
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Yeah, don't ever lose hope. Please believe in yourself. 'Cause we've all been face first on the ground. Yeah, but don't you know? Something touched my heart. Now we're praying.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood, and I am joined today by Sierra Heidkamp out of North Dakota. And we have a very, very special guest, Dr. Ian Murphy, who is the author of a new book, The Road to Self-Awareness, which is being published and distributed by Sophia Institute. Tell us a little bit, Dr. Murphy, when we got back, you're kind of giving us an introduction to the book, and there's a spiritual warfare component to this book. And I thought it was funny when I first picked it up, I'm like, oh, a self-help book. And it is in a sense, but it's different. It's self-help in a different way. You specifically overcame something. You overcame the sin of gluttony. Tell us a little bit about that journey that you were on, if you can.
Oh, I'm happy to. I used to weigh over 300 pounds. Yeah, you wouldn't have recognized me. You literally wouldn't have recognized me at only 5'10", over 300 pounds. And it wasn't from depression or a thyroid problem and no clinical issue that can cause weight loss. Those are terrible afflictions, to be sure. In my case, it was lack of exercise and poor diet. I lacked the virtue of self-control. And I also lacked beneath that, the virtue of humility, which I found is the mother of all other virtues. Self-care and self-control were humility's offspring. I had to humble myself before my Father in heaven and realize my need and be assured that I'm not fundamentally a problem to be fixed. I'm fundamentally a cherished by God reflection of his very image of love, who he longs for a covenant relationship with. I'm not a problem to be solved. I have a problem, but that's different than being one. And when I learned his grace was sufficient, I was able to tackle this vicious beast, this literally vicious, deadly beast, the vice of, which is where vicious comes from, the vice of gluttony. It's deadly, literally. I was going to die of an early heart attack or cholesterol if I had stayed on that road. And it started really bumpy because I entered the self-help world out there and went through one failed diet after the next with all these quick fixes that never attended to body-soul unity, the need for grace, the need for the Holy Spirit, the importance of prayer or spirituality. At best, was just treated generically. Everything's affirmed, anything goes. And it was keeping me sick. And so having found in the Catholic Church the truth and the step-by-step process that led to victory, I saw that therapy, healing, that process, it's actually not this side thing. It's salvation itself. I was working out my salvation with fear and trembling as the potter was freeing me from the sin that was blocking me from his intentions for my life and freeing me for what he had to show me. So this book comes out of that repentance. It comes out of my own brokenness. In fact, my original title for it was How Thomas Aquinas Helped Me Lose 100 Pounds. But then we realized that it's not just a weight loss book. Again, it's a book about salvation itself. And whether it's an addiction or a compulsive tendency or a toxic relationship or misspent energy or anxiety, I mean, whatever it is, the great physician has the cure. The great physician is the cure. And apart from Christ, I could do nothing. But then abiding in him, he did the impossible.
That's amazing. I'll not to make this story about me, but I'll tell you, when Roy sent the email yesterday with the link to the book, I actually bought it right away, because what you're talking about is so important. And that testimony is so important, because like you're saying, each Christian, each Catholic, we have different vices. There's different things that we struggle with that pulls us away from God. And your testimony is so important to me, because I actually went through a very, very similar story. I struggled so bad in college with overeating. I was working full time. I had was going for 2 degrees. When I graduated from college, I was almost 270 pounds. And I lost 90 pounds in the year 2020. I went to Iowa and I was working and I was focusing on my faith. But what I'm getting at is there's so many people out there who have a similar story. And so it's amazing that, you know, you've put yourself out there, because people can relate to this. And that's amazing. Because like I said, I had not met you before the show, but that's amazing. So
it's encouraging to me to hear your testimony. I know I'm not alone. You know, and something I saw from all those self-help remedies, they were all always trying to fix the problem. Again, I was fundamentally a problem to be solved. Like my first nutrition counselor opened our initial therapy session with, "So Ian, tell me about this problem." And I started to, the problem was the center of the whole thing. And I started to feel like his real client wasn't me. It was the dysfunction itself. And then I can encounter Jesus's warning that if you just sweep out a room and leave it empty, nature abhors a vacuum. 7 worse problems will come in and take its place. I mean, I couldn't just get rid of a vice. This wasn't about a presence of absence. This was about a real presence of something substantial, someone substantial. It was about who God is and who I am in him. The center of healing had to be the person, not the problem. Namely, the 3 persons of the Holy Trinity. It all starts with God, and then the human person created in his image.
Amen. Hearing that and hearing what, you know, both you and Sierra are talking about, it's interesting. And really, the very first chapter, you talk about a conversation you had with your sister, and you were in complete denial. You were wondering, like, why am I only getting paired up with a certain, you know, physique, lady, right? Because you're a single, dating and so forth. And you sort of had this, like, you're just in total denial. And it's interesting. You said, and I quote, "I had put on over 100 pounds, comma, oblivious to it the whole time." And I underline that word, oblivious the whole time. And how true is that? Well, what you're talking about, you know, your particular struggle, but everybody listening has some struggle. They have some cross. They have some sin that they're really good at, and they're probably oblivious to, right? And maybe they're aware of it, but they don't realize that it's creeping up on them.
This is precisely the effect of vice, of evil, of sin. I love where Aristotle says, I got so much out of encountering this in Aristotle. He said, "Vice expels rational calculation." Vices expel rational calculation. In other words, they inhibit a person's ability to see themselves clearly and to see their behavior clearly. It expels the ability to think rationally. And you know, people pick up a newspaper, they say, how can people do these insanely hideous things out there in the world, these school shootings and so on? How does that happen? What happens? Because vice blinds people. It has a blinding effect. The vicious person is not aware that he's vicious. It's why humility is so important. St. Augustine said, if you ask me what the first thing is in religion, I'd say that the first thing, the second thing, and the third thing are humility, humility, and humility. I mean, humility is stronger than vice's blinding agency. But it has to be engaged. You have to humble yourself and turn inward That's repent. Jesus, how many times did he say repent? Turn inward. Face yourself. I mean, my wake-up call happened when my giant belly popped over my belt, blew open my sports coat, and shot the gold button off my sports coat. This button goes soaring through the air like a projectile missile. It whistles across the room, pops against the wall. That's what I called my sister, Sarah. I said, Sarah, am I fat? She said, you didn't know? I look at myself in the mirror every day, and I honestly didn't see it. The fat guy was always some other guy in the room. And then all of a sudden, it's like epiphany. I was the fat guy in the room. I get on a scale for the first time in years, and it was one of those circle scales with the dial. It goes up to 100, so every lap represents this dial is doing laps, 1, 2, 3, and it's still going. Doing laps is something I evidently needed to be doing.
Right.
At 5'10", over 300 pounds, and I really didn't see it.
You know, it's refreshing to me, Dr. Yin and Sierra, that, I mean, you approach this story with a sense of humor, right? It's a serious subject, but I couldn't help. I kind of chuckled a little bit with that, you know, when I was reading that, and then the button flies off. I was thinking back to like the old Eddie Murphy, Nutty Professor movie, right? I mean, wow. And just the fact that you're able to share this. And again, people listening, you know, there are people that struggle with weight but there's people that struggle with other things too. And I think about like in particular, some of the like sins of the flesh and things that, or maybe addictions that are hidden, right? When you have a sin, like what you're talking about, in many manners, it's sort of like out there in the open, like, you know, people probably don't know, maybe you have a medical condition, who knows? There's all sorts of things that can lead to weight gain.
It's something for everyone, as Sierra was also saying, just like you did. I mean, for some, it's an addiction. For some, it's an ill temper. They don't know how to stop and cool down and not speak selfishly and out of anger in that, you know, compromised moment. For some people, it's pornography. For some people,
gambling.
It's sloth. I mean, it's something for everybody.
Yeah.
Yep. Gambling has been huge. And I'm not going to say lately, because I know it's been going on forever, but I feel like, you know, I watch a lot of sports, watch a lot of basketball, baseball, football. And this year in particular, it seems like gambling has taken over the sponsoring of so many commercials. I think a lot of these gambling sites even took over a lot of the sponsorship for the NFL, because you'd be watching the pregame show and then you have the host being like, hey, have you checked out this new gambling site? Well, they'll match your top $500 donation or bet. Mind-blowing.
But you said, you slipped up, you said donation, but that's effectively what it is when you're donating to these. Yeah. And then the NFL players are getting in trouble for it, which I don't quite understand. So on one hand, you've got these groups sponsoring, but then the players actually get in, because it's against the rules. Maybe people should pay attention to that. Why is it against the rules? It's probably a bad idea. Obviously there's some ethical things there too, but great point.
Well, in North Dakota, we had a bill this year. They wanted to legalize betting on college sports. And our UND, we have two huge universities. UND is huge for hockey. They're always nationally ranked. And NDSU has won the last 9 out of 11 national titles for the FCS. So now they want to legalize sports betting in North Dakota when we have two national teams? Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, look, I'm in Illinois. There's a casino 10 miles south of where I live. I mean, but there you go. And one of the things, Dr. Yin, that you say in here, and I'm trying to remember what chapter it's in, but I have it highlighted. You're talking about the epiphany or the conversion level epiphany. And I quote, and it's italicized, we all have a fallen tendency to start by treating a person's problem as though it is the essence of that person. Wow. I want to read that again. We have a fallen tendency to start by treating a person's problem as though it is the essence of that person. That statement is so powerful because it can be applied to so many things going on in our world right now that we don't necessarily have to get into right now. But we can all think of instances where people have an issue and society is now saying, oh, that's who you are. And it's like, well, maybe not. Maybe they need help. Wow. So tell us a little bit, what was exactly the moment? Was it the moment when the button popped off that you had this epiphany, or was there something else?
The button popping moment was the epiphany that I had a need, that there was a problem, that I had fallen prey to the vice of gluttony. But the more important epiphany was this one you're talking about, because I saw the problem first. They say the first step is admitting you have a problem. No, the first step is finding out you are God's beloved. The second step is admitting you have a problem, but the first step is knowing who God is and that you're loved and that his love is bigger than the sin. So that second epiphany, that I'm not a problem to be solved, that my neighbor is not a problem to be solved, that people are this inherently dignified reflection of the Most High God, infinitely precious, each individual. God is no respecter of persons. He's not into fame and high profile and power and money the way we are. We get that so wrong. Every individual, hairs on their head counted, like Hagar, nobody by the society standards in the Old Testament, saying, this is the God who sees me. I realize this is the God who sees you, each individual, infinitely precious, pursued, awaited, delighted in. Christians are accustomed to God, all people are created in God's image and likeness. We know how to quote it. But do we abide in that truth? The waitress at the restaurant, she messes up my order. Is she a reflection of Christ? Am I treating her as I would treat Jesus? Or is she a problem to be solved when I look at myself in the mirror? Mm-hmm. Am I just a problem? Or am I God's beloved? That epiphany happened when I heard a counseling role play in one of my teaching jobs. And when the counselee kept trying to get it about the problem, the Christian therapist said, I don't want to start with the problem. I want to start with you. And it
One of the things I want to talk about a little bit, and then I don't know whether Sierra has any questions too, but one of the things I love about this book, The Road to Self-Awareness, is how you give us these bits and pieces of your life, of this experience that you went through, of some of the inspiration, but then you go into these discussion sections as well. Tell us a little bit about the format of the book and how you decided to lay that out and what the purpose is of those discussion sections.
Oh, great. Yeah, I love this question. The format of the book is that each chapter opens with the next episode in my own broken and messy weight loss journey, the failed diets, the initial success, the backsliding, the over 10 years on what I call the plateau from hell, the 250-pound plateau that started to seem impossible to break, laying the foundation in God's sovereignty over the problem, in humility, in prayer, and then having God build upon that to get me off the plateau by showing me the healing effects of virtue. So it's this warts and all, very honest and funny story of me fighting my obesity. So every chapter opens with the next episode in that story. Then after the narrative, I go into the healing concepts that part of my story brings to light. And then after discussing the concepts, I have a section called Applying the Concepts Across the Board to show that these apply whatever the vice, whatever the healing need. And again, not to just be saved from sin, but for life. And the second part of your question, why that approach? I had just been reading too many Christian books that sounded like the author had it all together. It's like they fancied themselves. They've got it all sorted. They have something to impart that their readers need. They've got it together. My favorite writers are people like St. Augustine, in the Confessions, where he talks about his mess. I can relate with that. I can relate with Peter. I can relate with St. Paul. I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I know I should. I'm a mystery to myself. I can connect with that. So I wanted to use parable and teach from my own repentance, not from this posture as though I had an enlightenment and someone else needed it and I would impart it. No, I'm just as much in need of the gospel that I'm preaching is how Paul explains it, that I wanted to write a book like that from my own repentance, from my own brokenness.
That's great.
And you can find your book on Sophia Institute Press, which is on the bottom of the screen for those watching, but it's sophiainstitute.com. Do you have other books that are also on there? I know we talked before the show about that.
Oh, yeah. My first book is my conversion story. It's the one with Scott Hahn's kind intro, the foreword, which that helps sell books. So, like, God bless him. What a solid he did me there. But that was through Ignatius Press. They could get either book. My first one, my conversion story, Dying to Live, from Agnostic to Baptist to Catholic, or The Road to Self-Awareness, a therapy book for Christians through Sophia. Both are available at my website, drianmurphy.com, drianmurphy.com. They can see what our ministry does, express any interest in hiring me as a speaker for an event, or just say hi, give a prayer request. If they do purchase either book from my website, I'm able to personally autograph it for them. Or they could go to Ignatius for the first one or Sophia Institute for the second.
That's wonderful.
Excellent.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your speaking, and we only have about a minute or so left, but so I do see that on there that you do speaking, you do events for adults as well as for youth and young adults.
Absolutely. Lately I've been doing a lot of parish missions for the Eucharistic Revival, because that this 3-year National Eucharistic Revival, but I do all sorts of stuff. My last youth event was, on the resurrection and on its literal reality. So that was really fun. I love the apologetics that helped me grow out of my own agnostic doubts. You know, I love sharing that with fellow doubting Thomases and telling them my story and showing them, you know, the evidence of martyrdom, how we know this really happened. I get really into that. I also love the stuff I talk about in this new book, you know, the step-by-step accompaniment out of whatever has a person stuck and into life. Because so many people, they want to change, but they just don't know how to connect A to B. What are the steps? What do I do? What's it look like? What can I expect? That's what this book does. And I also like to talk about it.
No, that's great. You know, so folks, you've been listening to Truth Culture Live. We are joined today by author and speaker, who just has such an incredible story, Dr. Ian Murphy, with his latest book, Road to Self-Awareness, by which is published by Sophia Institute. And we just want to thank you, Dr. Ian, for coming on the show. And we hope that people will check out your book. And I think they should buy it right from your website so you can autograph it for them.
Thank you so much for putting the word out there about the book. This was a pure joy to be here. I'm just humbled and honored to get to be a part of this. I love what you're doing. You're in my prayers. Keep doing what you're doing. If you had half as much fun today as I did, I know you had a good day too.
We had a lot of fun. We loved the conversation. Sierra, I'll give you the last word, Sierra.
No, thank you so much for coming on today. And it really was amazing. So I'm excited to read the book once I get it. And I'll make sure to let you know how it goes.
I have to tell you, Sierra, before we let him go, I got like a sneak peek PDF.
Oh, I don't know if I had that on the email, but
no, I guess I'm extra special.
Well, this is good for our listeners, because like I said, once I get the book read, I will give the review and we'll go from there.
All right. Dr. Thanks so much. Thank you. We're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio, and we'll be right back. Would you pray?
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Catholic Spirit Radio would like to recognize our matching donors for this year's successful Carathon. David Busson, John Carter of Jack Lewis Jewelers, Matt and Layla Busson, John P. Holt Builders, and two anonymous donors. Thank you for your support of Catholic Spirit Radio.
Wondering about your next step? Ashley was in school and pregnant when she reached out to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Would she be judged? Would she be accepted? What she found at LAPRC was a team of people who were committed to providing excellent care and compassionate support to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. If you or someone you know is in a situation like Ashley, or if you want to help support women and families in our community, you can find us at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Anne
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. I'm Royce Hood, and we were just having an amazing conversation with Dr. Ian Murphy. And we, you know, typically our guests jump off, but we're having so much fun. He decided to stick around. So Dr. Murphy's still with us, and we're so excited that he's here. And yeah, so anyway, we can't, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we like somebody, we're like, hey, you need to stick around a little bit longer.
Holy Spirit, a good conversation plan.
Thanks for letting me tag along. This is too much fun.
No, it's great. We're typically have a session called or a segment called the Ask Father O, but he's not here. So we'll go right into headlines and let's do that. Sierra, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk recently about, you know, I always talk about Catholic Vote. They're such a great site for folks to follow on Instagram, Facebook. They put a lot of information out there. But they've really tackled this recent issue with the idea that the FBI may be targeting Catholic churches. And so they're looking to put a lawsuit together, suing the DOJ, the Department of Justice. And this comes back to that conversation we had a few months ago about language and what definitions are to people. So technically, with groups like Southern Poverty Law Center, which are nonprofits, their definition of extremist is people who focus on one issue, specifically pro-lifers, people who are Catholic. And now we're seeing groups like the FBI, who are taxpayer-funded, who are looking into groups and demographics like the Catholic Church. Have you guys been following any of this?
Yeah, look, first of all, a few things there to unpack, and I'll let Dr. Murphy jump in if he wants. But the Southern Poverty Law Center is interesting. They have lawyers that are actually involved with Antifa, like literally in it. And I know that because of different texts and communications with people on my side. You know, I'm involved heavily with a group out of Chicago called Thomas More Society, which is sort of the opposite end of the spectrum of Southern Poverty. And you're right. Southern Poverty actually puts out a list of extremists, and on that list are conservatives, conservative organizations, pro-lifers, Catholics. So yes, I have been following this, and I'm familiar with Catholic Vote's FOIA request. The FOIA request is what's triggering this lawsuit against the Department of Justice. They basically put out a Freedom of Information request saying, hey, we want notes, memoranda, anything related to undercover agents being embedded at Catholic churches, at Latin masses, so forth. And the Department of Justice, to my knowledge, has not produced anything based on that lawful Freedom of Information Act request. And so the lawsuit is in response to that. That's my understanding, at least. Go ahead.
I confess I haven't followed that. However, the phenomenon you described, I'm no stranger to that, and it doesn't surprise me. My free speech controversy back in high school, I knew full well if I wanted to give a graduation speech about relativism or what they call today wokeism, I would have been welcomed with open arms. As soon as it was the name of Jesus, there came the threat to pull the plug on the microphone that had me turn to the newspapers in the first place. Fast forward some years, and I started to get an inside look at the training of therapists, you know, as an interdisciplinary professor. And I started to see some of the things the American Psychological Association was doing. namely preaching non-value imposition. No one's allowed to impose their values. Non-value imposition. You can't. The thing is, that itself is a value, and they're imposing it. You know, you can't get around it. There are no value-neutral positions. It's it's not non-value imposition. It's this list of values, our values, because they have the monopoly on accreditation. And if somebody brings up Jesus, all of a sudden it's, oh, you're not allowed to impose. Yet you go to their website, and the first thing I see is a promotion for what they called lesbian feminism. Well, that sounds like a value that you're imposing. How come you're allowed to promote that? It's always against Jesus. That's the threat. I remember the, despite its name, the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, was fighting against my speech. I ended up in a radio debate at 18 against the president of Pittsburgh's chapter. And he actually said over the airwaves that the Bill of Rights applies to every ideology, philosophy, and religion except Christianity. You know, that just be honest about what's happening here. There is a power in this world, and there's no mistaking who threatens it.
That's right. No, I mean, so true. And look, we've all seen that sort of double standard. And that's the true across the left everywhere you go. And with people that just hate Christianity, you know, we want to be tolerant. We want to be accepting. That's what we are. Oh, unless you like Jesus, or unless you think babies are in the womb, and, you know, unless you support traditional marriage and so forth and so on. I mean, just talk about parental rights, right? I mean, wow. And we could get into all these sort of things. And it's like never ending. Sierra, you were talking about a poll on Facebook. What poll?
Yeah. So again, for listeners today or people watching the video, please go and check out our Facebook page. We're going to be better about posting, you know, those articles and different things that we talk about on the show. But right now I do have a poll going. What do you call a sugary, bubbly flavored drink? And there are 50 votes and Pop is winning. And I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, that was my trombone. That is wrong.
Original sin affects us all.
Yeah. You know, not everybody. We're praying for you. If you think it's Pop, you're in our prayer. Dr. Murphy and I are on the same page. I guess some of you may think it's otherwise.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to say next week when the poll's done.
Wars have been fought over less.
That's so funny.
No, that's great. I'm happy to see that. You know, the other one were, and I need to post this one too. You know, we've had, so that's great to see that interaction on there. So facebook.com/truthculturelifepod. And you can always look up Sierra and Royce Hood's on there too. I just talked in the third person. That was creepy. I need to stop.
No, it was okay. I accepted it.
Yeah.
People need to know what to look up.
So that's great. I think, you know, wow, what an interesting episode. You know, again, truth, culture, life. What is this show all about at the end of the day? You know, it's about truth, culture, and life. I mean, it's really about what the name is. You know, we've got that theological Catholic perspective on culture and life in general. We really are in a culture war. I think about, you know, like Dr. Murphy, your book touches on that. The road to self-awareness, and that, you know, we have to, I love this saying. It's like, you know, if you want to help somebody, if somebody's drowning, you have to make sure that you're not drowning too. Otherwise you're not going to be able to save them. Mm-hmm. And so we need to conquer our own vices before we can conquer the world around us. Right.
Instead of just being affirmed, you know, like we have all these things that we struggle with, and if we were doing better about supporting one another to come over those vices instead of just being affirmed and digging yourself deeper, that's what we need more of. And that's what we talk about on the show. I mean, one thing I just thought of too is body positivity and everything else now that's going on in the world. How is that healthy? How is that helping people if you're obese? And that's a conversation probably for next week.
That's a great conversation. There's a guy that I follow on Twitter named Zubby. Zuby. Has anybody here heard of? He's a black rapper from, I think, from Europe. A super interesting Christian conservative influencer. He's got like over a million followers. And he talks about, like, he was obese at one point and struggled with weight. And he gets really personally insulted when the media, you know, sort of celebrates unhealthy lifestyles. And again, not people struggle. I have my own struggles. Everybody struggles with different things. That's not what it's about necessarily, but it's like, okay, are we lying to each other? Are we lying to somebody because they think something is good when it's not healthy for them?
And yeah, this is,
go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but go ahead. I was hoping you'd jump in.
Oh man, it just, amen. I'm nodding profusely over here. This is all under the banner of be true to yourself. That's one of the mantras of our day, is be true to yourself. And what they've forgotten to do is distinguish between the stark difference between the disordered self and the well-ordered self. Be true to your well-ordered self. Yes, the self propelled toward increasing virtue, perfection and charity, the qualities of love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is virtue, love is virtue. That's who you truly are in God's image. God is love. So you're repairing who you truly are. You're really healing. The more virtuous you become, the more self-controlled, the more grateful, the more merciful, etc., the more humble. That's your well-ordered self. Be true to that. But when you're true to your disordered self, that actually is less human. You're disintegrating the fabric of who you truly are. It's harmful. It's destructive. So in the name of, oh, be true to yourself, you know, this body positivity, they end up telling the glutton, yes, keep destroying yourself. You know, I found gluttony to be a dawdling form of suicide. I was killing myself. I was just doing it slowly. And yes, the worst thing somebody could say to me, I wouldn't be loved by it, is yes, keep killing yourself. Yeah, that I'm not loved by that message. So, you know, that distinction is crucial today. Be true to your well-ordered self, absolutely. But don't be true to your disordered self. It'll kill you.
Absolutely.
What a great message to end on. Yeah, that's amazing.
It is. That's great. I couldn't agree more. And I think all the more, again, we'll give another shout out because Dr. Murphy's hanging out with us. We love it. You know, we're going to have you back, Dr. Murphy. Just to have you agrees. Anytime.
This is too much fun.
Absolutely. So you've been listening to Truth Culture Life. We're so grateful to have Dr. Murphy on here, author of, again, The Road to Self-Awareness. We want to thank the Sophia Institute Press for bringing him on and connecting us with this amazing individual. And Sierra, thank you for joining us from North Dakota. And we want to thank all of our listeners. Again, you're listening to Truth Culture Life.